halfway by size, you'll come somewhere in Psalms. And then you want to go back to your left, and that'll be the book of Job. And then I want you to find chapter 19. Job is spelled like Job. In fact, when the chaplain of Bourbon Street, Dr. Bob Harrington, was alive, he said when he first got saved, didn't know anything. He thought the book of Job was the book of Job. He said he preached his first message from the Book of Concordance. He had no idea, And I don't mean any disrespect, but he thought John 3:16 was the room number of the restroom on the third floor. But, you know, that's not it. That's not it. Here it is. In Job, we have a tremendous thought, and I'll tell you why it's so tremendous. Job chapter 19 and verse number 25. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know, Job says, that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. If you've read your Bible, if you've watched your headlines, you know we're living in the last days. One of these days, the last opportunity to be saved will occur. The last person will get saved. The rapture will take place. The world will be plunged into 7 years of great tribulation, a time known as the days of Jacob's trouble. And it is Daniel's 70th week. It's known by various names, but it's a terrible, terrible time. You don't want to be here. You want to escape that by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior here and now. But the latter days, the last days, we're living in the last days of the last days. If the clock were according to what we see around us, then the clock would be at about 11:59 before it strikes midnight. And Jesus comes at the midnight hour and raptures away those that have been saved the Bible way. Now, here's what Job is saying. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, I know when you look in your Bibles, you see the first book of the Bible is Genesis. Then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those books were penned by Moses in about the year 1500. God, by inspiration, gave him the very words. They tell about the beginning. They tell about creation. So they record what happened at the very beginning of creation about 6,000 years ago. But the first book actually penned was probably not Genesis. It was probably the book of Job. And the book of Job was written, we believe, to tell about the life, the trials, the difficulties, and the trust and the faith of this man. And it shows that even the best guy on the planet needs to repent. The best person on earth needs to get saved the Bible way. Are you looking this way? Look at me. Look at me. Listen to what I got to say. This is so important. If you miss this, you could miss eternity in heaven. Job knew his Redeemer. He didn't just know about or of his Redeemer. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We must have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because God, by Christ, has paid our sin debt. And in us, for us and in us and through us is making a difference. That's it. This was written perhaps before the time of Moses. And if it were written before the time of Moses, it would have been perhaps during the time of Abraham, or maybe just after the time of Noah. We don't know exactly when it was written. We don't know when Job lived, but we know he was a very rich and influential man who went through all that he did, and yet, in spite of that, he knew that his Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Someday, Tom, you're going to see Iris in a glorified body. Someday, Bonnie, you're going to see Roger in a glorified body. How many of you have lost to the passing of your loved one? You've lost them in recent days. Raise your hands. Come on. You've lost a loved one. Someone's passed on. Yes. Yes. If they knew Jesus as their Savior, they're going to be in a brand new body when we see them next time. They're going to be glorified. They're going to be just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came back from the dead. He was meeting with his disciples. He got there by walking through the door. I don't mean an open door. He walked through the door. and you're going to be able to walk right through doors and walls, and you're going to be able to move around the New Jerusalem by the speed of thought. Boom, here and there. I want to go across the New Jerusalem on those streets of gold, but I tell you what, kind of busy down there, all the folks that have trusted Jesus. And so I want to get to the other side. I want to visit my family member or my friend on earth, and so I want to visit them. Boom, you're there, just like that. I'm looking forward to that. This man, way back, said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter time upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That seems illogical and impossible. But the truth is, God can make everything brand new. If I were to pass and my body were to be buried, it would go through decomposition. And then when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard and I come up through the ground, man, I wouldn't want to be a grounds worker at the cemetery on that day. All these saved people coming up through the sod. Can you imagine that? I'll come up through the ground and I'll be in my brand new body. That's the time the gospel song says, that's when dust shall sing. When people come up out of the ground and they become their brand new body and their spirit and soul comes into their brand new body and they are singing, that's when dust shall sing coming up out of the ground. I'm looking forward to that. Could be any moment. Could be any day. Could be any hour. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Now God is a spirit, and they that worship Him worship Him in spirit and truth. Are you listening to me? The only God you're ever going to see, the only God I'm ever going to see is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Because you can't see a spirit. You can see the results of a spirit. You can see the moving of a spirit, but you cannot see a spirit. So when he says, I shall see God, this is an Old Testament scripture about Job meeting up with Jesus. Amen. I'll see him. He said, I'll see him. You can read about him over in Revelation. He's got hair like wool. He's got eyes like fire. He's got feet like brass. Amen. The glorified Jesus. You say, well, I've always kind of pictured him as kind of a cushy, cozy, I can just crawl up in his lap and embrace him. Listen, God loves you. Jesus loves you more than I can describe to you. But when we see him in our glorified bodies and he's in his glorified body, it's not going to be like the painters have painted, because that's a different appearance. He's the one, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the light. Every title in the scriptures, over 100 of them for Jesus, over 100 of them for the Spirit, over 100 of them for God the Father. He's 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. And we're going to see him, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He didn't know the details, but he believed by faith. You and I may not figure it out, but we can faith it out. We can believe it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, and because he's alive, I too shall live. This morning, if you read and heard and saw the devotional that my wife puts out every Sunday morning, I hope that you will. If you haven't, that you get signed up for that. But it's all about joy. That gives me joy. I said, sweetie, that's exactly it. That is the key. What this old world needs is the joy that Jesus gives. And you'll never have it. You'll never work up to it. You'll never gain it on your own. You'll never get it except through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one who helps us to smile through the tears. He's the one who helps us to go forward. Even though the storm is beating, we keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, one step at a time by the grace of God. He gives me joy. That's the power under which we operate. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And today we rejoice in the truth that Jesus is alive. He's not just a dead religious leader. He is a living Savior. I know that he's alive. He's in my heart right now, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Now, some of you may get more excited than others get, but I want to invite you just for a moment to step up, ratchet it up a step, and get excited, because Jesus is alive. He's inside me. He's inside you if you know him as your Savior. This morning's devotional on From the Shepherd to the Sheep, my devotional, I spoke about the fact that Jesus did not have one of those funeral plans where you pay for everything in advance, and that's a good idea to do, by the way. But you say, oh, I'm going to wait for the rapture. Well, I can tell you my grandfather, my dad, all of my uncles, they all believed that too, but they still needed a plot. So you got to plan ahead. But anyway, Jesus, being God, knew that he didn't have to buy a place to be buried. He just needed to borrow a tomb. He just needed a room for the weekend. And so I wrote a song called Temporary Room. He didn't need a permanent place. He only needed a temporary room. Why? Because it didn't take a long time. All it took was the fulfillment of Scripture. 3 days and three nights. That's it. And Jesus Christ came forth. And he is the champion. He is the conqueror. He is the king. He's the one and only. There'll never be another one like him. Never, ever. He's greater. The Christ is greater than COVID. The Christ is greater than cancer. The Christ is greater than coronary disease. The Christ is greater than any challenge that we might face in our life. Those challenges are real, and they may seem daunting, but Christ is greater than all of those. He's the one who has conquered sin and death. He's the one who conquered Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the one who stands up and says things against us and against everything for which we stand, the one who tries to defeat you in your mind, who raises up bulwarks against you, those thought processes that work against you, the one who condemns you. We're not under condemnation. We've been delivered from condemnation. That condemnation was taken upon Jesus Christ in his crucifixion and then his empty tomb. Why, he defeated all the false lies and teachings of the cults and those that are compromisers and those who are taken up with churchianity instead of really knowing the Christ. Jesus Christ is greater than all of those. He's greater than your confusion. He's greater than your carelessness. He's greater than the criticism of others against you. He's greater than your concerns and worries. He's greater than all those that would seek to control you externally. The tomb couldn't hold him. Jesus Christ is greater. He's greater than your carnality that causes you to flee. He's greater than all those who are competitors that would rise against him and said, come check out my religion. Check out my belief. Check out my philosophy. He says, I'm the conqueror. I'm the champion. All comers, come on, come on. All contestants, all would be that would attempt to be a contestant, come on, come on. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He conquers our soul. He conquers our carnality. He conquers everything that would criticize us and come against us. Because the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is incontrovertible. It is indisputable. There is no doubt whatsoever that Jesus Christ is alive. Turn over in 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And there let us notice together a great passage of Scripture about the resurrection. And we come down to the end. And it says this. In verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now the same one who wrote this wrote at the very beginning of this chapter, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, did he do that? The Bible says so. I believe the Bible. Amen. You say, I don't believe it. By what do you doubt it? And what have you got in place of it? Come on, all comers. Come on, come on, come on. I defy all the forces of hell and of the world and the flesh to disprove the reality that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. How do you do that? He's not a hallucination. He's not our imagination. He was seen of above 500, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. That is when the book was written, but some are fallen asleep. They've passed away. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul says, also as of one born out of due time. Those people who prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ were so afraid, so cowardly, suddenly became bold. They had such boldness. The Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them and realized that they had been with Jesus. The presence of Jesus Christ makes the difference in our life. and causes us to know that the things that we have read today are absolutely true. God doesn't want you to believe a lie. God wants you to believe and act upon the truth. And so in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed once for all. The transformation that starts within us, which is the transformation of our heart and soul. Paul said, and I pray God that your whole soul, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified, be set apart until that glorious day. And he which hath begun a good work in you, says in Philippians chapter 1, will he continue to perform until the day of Jesus Christ? God doesn't start and quit like we did when we were kids. Started on, how many of you ever had a stamp collection you didn't finish? How many of you ever had a coin collection you didn't finish? How many of you ever had a project maybe in the basement of the garage you didn't finish? Raise your hand. God finishes all his projects. And Jesus is coming again. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, we're going to be changed. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the ultimate victory right there. I got saved. Jesus won. He came into my heart. I started to change inwardly. Jesus won. Jesus wants to have his way with me. I said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Now, I'm not perfect. I still have a sin nature that I deal with, but Jesus won. I go on and I serve the Lord, and one day he reached down and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to preach. I said, who, me? I want you to preach. I'll give you what you need. You can preach the gospel. It'll never go out of style. People will make all kinds of accusations. They'll call you all kinds of names. You may not be loved. You may not be popular. But you'll be doing what I'm telling you to do, what I'm going to enable you to do, what I'm going to reward you for doing. He reached down. He touched me. He said, I want you to preach. And I said, yes, Lord. Jesus won. Amen. All these years we've been through it. We faced it. People come, people go, things happen. Different situations. Jesus wins. He always wins. Every time. Love wins every time. God's love wins every time. Death can't exist in the presence of life. Jesus wins every time. And someday, Jesus is coming for us. Could be today, could be any second. He comes and death will be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, every one of you now, every one of you, be ye steadfast. Say steadfast. Unmovable. Say unmovable. Say this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, what he has begun, he will continue to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Nobody is looking. You've heard the truth today. Now you have to do something with it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want you to examine your heart. Go back as far as you can. Can you ever remember a time when you called upon the name of the Lord and you said, Jesus, come in my life and save me. Take away my sins and take me to heaven. You might have done that today. That's it. Amen. If you haven't done that already, you need to do it now. Now's the time. You need to do that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pray from your heart to God. Something like this. Dear God, dear God. I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. I believe Jesus died to save me. Right now I receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. Right now I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, as my personal Savior. Please take away my sins. Take away my sins. Take me to heaven when I die.
It was the third day since he died, and it was said he would arise. Then from the grave this Lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. There rose a Lamb
wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see him rise, but I was there when he saved my soul. For within my heart his love arose.